Amen. How many people have your Bible today? If you have your Bible, stand up and hold it above your head and bear witness of God's Word. It's a beautiful thing to see the Word of God. All right, you may be seated. Turn, if you would, please, to the book of Psalms, chapter 119, Psalms 119. When you find your place, say, I have it. The one thing, if you noticed in the children's sermon, that these guys didn't do that left them just roaming aimlessly around trying to find something, even though they had good intentions with that, was that their focus was not show me. After I said something just to tell them a little bit about what they needed to do, they didn't wait around for me to show them or to tell them. In some way, they just didn't get the instructions, even though they had good intentions. And so this past week, you know, I had some time while I was on vacation, and you know, you do different things when you're on vacation, don't you? Different things than you normally do, because you leave a lot of the responsibilities, the things that you think about, and you go. And it's your time to sort of decompress, unwind, if you will, right? How many people use it for that time? And so you don't have your normal obligations. You're not like looking on your daily planner. You're not trying, unless you're going with one of those people that says, okay, at 9 o'clock we're going to do this, at 10 o'clock we're going to do this, at 11 o'clock we're going to do this, at 12 o'clock. And so normally you're just sort of chill. And, you know, I thought a couple of weeks ago today, I took my phone, and Ben said, you can put it on airplane mode. I said, there's another mode I'm wanting to put it on. It's off mode. And so I cut it off because it wasn't going to work anyway. And I took my watch off and hung it up here, so I didn't have my phone or my watch. You say, big deal. Those are two things that govern me. They're two things that seem to rule me on an everyday basis. And they're two good things. I use both of them for good things. But I do seem to get sometimes carried away with being so tied to them. How about you? Do you? Yours may be something else, but those things keep me, I guess, always trying to look to see what I have to do. But they keep me a lot of times from seeing what I need to do, what I want to do. And so I realized that God probably was just going to take this week to preach a message to me. I feel obliged to come back and share it to you. But I could tell by the first day that He was speaking it to me. And I think the most simple way to share it with you is to share this one verse in Psalms 119. Are you there? Let me lay the groundwork here. Psalms 119 is a psalm written. When we say a psalm written, we say it's written by the psalmist. The psalmist is whoever wrote it. And a lot of people think, well, it's the psalmist David. They hear people say the psalmist David. David didn't write all the psalms. Psalms are songs. It's someone's communication with God. It's a song of praise. It's a psalm. But you had many people write different psalms. We had psalms that were written from people that you don't even know, and then psalms from familiar people, from David, from Moses, from Daniel, from Ezra. We could go on and on. These psalms are written as an example for us to look to see, okay, this is maybe something that we've forgotten. Well, this psalmist at this particular part, 119, the longest chapter in the Bible, the longest psalm in the Bible, this psalm is written in such a form. I'm not going to go into that form, but I do want you to know this. This psalm was written when the writer was in a time of duress, a time of trouble, a time of worry, a time of busyness. One of those times where everything just was not working out the way that they wanted it to work out. Anybody been in that situation? Can I get a witness? It was a time when the psalmist was turning and saying, I'm out of my plan. I'm out of reasons. I'm just so perplexed. I've tried to do this. What about if this happens? And what about if this happens? And the psalmist cried out in verse 18. The psalmist prays this. He prays this psalm and asks God for this certain thing. I want you to listen. He says, open thou mine eyes that I may behold the wondrous things out of thy law. The whole message today is wrapped in that one sentence, that one request. Open thou mine eyes. Who is he talking to? He's talking to God. That I may behold the wondrous things out of thy law. You see, the psalmist here is not asking God to open his physical eyes. He's asking God to let him see something that he can't see in the condition that he's in. Why in the world would someone be asking for their eyes to be open? Because they can't what? See. And if there was something that he could clearly see, he wouldn't be asking for his eyes to be open. Here's a problem. It's not physical eyes. There's something that he can't understand. There's something he can't comprehend. There's something he can't get his mind wrapped around. There's a reason something is happening and he can't figure it out. So it's perplexing him. And he's asking the question, why? So when he says, open my eyes, he is basically saying, show me. Say it with me.
Show me.
Say it again.
Show me.
Open my eyes. He's saying, show me or reveal to me something that I'm not seeing right now. Have you ever been in a place in your life where you did finally understand why something happened to you or why you were going through something, but it was a lot later than you needed to understand it? But if you think back on that time, were you really asking God to show you something? You see, he specifically says, show me something, reveal to me something that I cannot see. But then there's a little perplexing spot in this scripture, and I want to dwell on it. I want to dig in just a little bit, because he says, show me something, reveal to me something that I can behold the wondrous things. That means I want to show you something, or I want you to show me something wonderful. Wondrous means wow, something I just didn't get. Have you ever had that aha moment with God? Listen, I get digging in this word and I'm just reading something, and all of a sudden this clicks and that clicks, and it's like, wow. And I realized that, man, when I was last couple of weeks, last week when I cut my phone and my watch off and I had that time, there was a lot of wows. There was a lot of, man, well, you say you don't have them? Yes, I have them. I have them when I sanction my time for study. I have them when I remove myself to a place to where it's no secret. How many people have been coming to church here for several years? You probably know when I remove myself and I find my time to get in there and I dig, right? No matter what's going on, that's my ritual, right? And you know that if I talk to somebody or if I have a counseling, you know, sometimes I'm going to share with you something. Sometimes I'll meet with somebody and talk to somebody, and they're in this time of need, and we talk and we go to the Lord, and the Lord reveals something, and that's on my mind and this and that. Do you know that I can't study right then? You know, sometimes I'll have to get the paper out. Are you kidding me? You get the paper out? I'll get the newspaper out. I'll read through the paper. Why? I got to pull out of that gear and pull out of this gear and pull out of this gear so I can remove that so I can get to a place. Now listen, I want you to stay with me today. That's because you have to get to a place where he can show you what he wants to show you. Do you realize when you come in here today, I can't show you anything that he hasn't shown me? So this is important. And then I realized, because I was under conviction during my own vacation. Conviction. Listen. You're coming and getting my instructions of what you need to do, and then you're taking off without me really taking that time just to stand in front of me and me say, hey, listen, here's the way I want you to do it. Here's the way I want to lead you. Do you realize that even Christians can get so busy? They can get so focused on good things that they need to be doing, that they're not watching or listening to God show them how and where they need to be looking, or where they need to be ministering, or how they need to be ministering. Do you know that can happen? The reason that this verse is so important is not just because he says, open thou mine eyes that I can behold the wonders that you can show me. He's saying the wondrous things, the things that give me aha moments out of thy law. Now, when I say law, to Christian people who are in here, immediately we think back, okay, Old Testament, right? So that you can show me your law. And we think back about the Mosaic law. But do you know that the psalmist here is not even talking about the Mosaic law here? You know, God's law is not the Mosaic law. You say, well, I'm not sure that I know what the Mosaic Law is. Well, let me explain to you the Mosaic Law. The Mosaic Law was given in the book of Exodus and Leviticus. I mean, God laid it out to the children of Israel. This is the way I want you to go about things. These are the rules. The Ten Commandments are part of the law, right? This is the way I want you to worship. This is the way I want you to honor the Sabbath. This is the way I want you to observe the feast. This is the way I want you to be a husband. This is the way I want you to be a wife. It's part of that. But that is not the complete law. That's the Mosaic Law. That is not what the psalmist is talking about. And I want to show you why this is so important. And I want God's Word to prove it, okay? It's an easy little fix. And I didn't realize this until I had another little aha moment. Psalms 119. Say that psalm with me. What number is it? And what is he talking about? Show me the wondrous out of thy what? Thy law. So he's not talking about the old Testament, old covenant Mosaic law. I want to show you how I know. God put it and made it simple for us. It's Psalms what? Okay, Psalms 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, or standeth in the way of sinners, or sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in this law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in season. And his leaf also shall not wither. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's Psalms 1 of 119. Now let's take the 19. Turn to Psalms 19. You're already in Psalms. Turn 100 chapters back. You know what he says in verse 7? Listen to this line. The psalmist says, the law, say it with me, the what?
The law.
The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Do you know what we think every time we hear the word convert? We're thinking he's talking about a convert that's coming. You know what this convert means? It means to revive, to restore. He's saying, the law of the Lord. Well, he's talking about Old Testament law? Of course he's not. What is he talking about? He's talking about there's something else that is perfect and complete in reviving you, bringing you back, putting you in the place in the center of God's will, restoring you. What is it? Well, I want to show you. God's law is not the Mosaic law. God's law is God's teaching. God's law is God's direction. God's law is God's guidance. God's law, as he says in Psalms, it's something that you need to delight in and meditate in. Why? Well, I'm going to tell you something about the law, the Old Testament law. You can't really delight in it because the Bible says, Paul tells me, the law is what condemns me. The law means death for me. What do you mean? Has anybody ever read the Old Testament law? I mean, let's just start with about 5 of the 10 commandments that I know that okay, if this is what I'm being judged by, I'm a goner. I'm done. Well, how can I delight in that? Well, I can't. What can I delight in? Well, let's talk about what God's law really is. You see, there is a law, Old Testament law, and is it part of God's teaching instruction? Absolutely, unequivocally, it is. But God's real law, the law that he's speaking about, is not just found in Exodus or Leviticus where God instructs us how to observe the Sabbath or how to observe the feast. The law of God includes these teachings, but the law of God, well, it goes all the way back to Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void, right? It tells me that who created the heavens and the earth? Now, that was way before the Mosaic law, right? But is that God's teaching? Yes, why? Without it, I wouldn't put God in the place that he needs to be, which is a supreme position, which means that he made me, he made everything else around me. So God is the creator. I have to know that God gives life, God takes life, God sustains life, and God has a purpose for man on this earth, and that purpose is for man to have fellowship. I learned all that in Genesis 1 and 2. Way before the law. Is that God's law? Absolutely. It's God's teaching. It's his instruction. I move a little further down and I find a couple of guys named Cain and Abel. They were Adam and Eve's son. You said, that's not law, that's just a story. That story tells me that Abel gave a better sacrifice than Cain did. Is that law? It's law because it's God teaching. It tells me how the sacrifice is supposed to be. And I move on to the children of Israel that left Egypt. And you say, that's not God's law because he didn't even give it yet. Moses hadn't even went up on the mountain yet and got the commandments. God hadn't spoke to it. When those Israelites left and saw the hand of God deliver them, that's teaching me that God will get me out of any situation he wants me out of, that I don't need to fear, that I can depend on him. But when I get out of that situation, I'm on my way to the promised land that he wants me to go to. If I start to complain and I start to grumble, I'm going to wander for 40 years. You say, that's not law. It's teaching. It's direction. It's God's law. In that same way, the psalmist is saying, open my eyes to the wondrous things out of thy law. I can tell you, I've read those stories before in the Old Testament. You've read those stories before, and they've spoken to you and given you direction. I've been that story before. I've been that person in the book of Jonah where you say, that's not God's law. Yeah, I've been in the belly of the whale, and I happen to know God said, Jonah said, you can't turn your back and go the other way. That time when you didn't have boldness to pray and you happened to read that law, the story of Daniel, when he had boldness to pray no matter what happened, and God gave those lions lockjaw. Those three Hebrew children that refused to bow down, not just to the king. We have a problem bowing down to what our employer says. They said, I don't care. Stoke the furnace up. I will not bow down to any golden image. That's God's law. He told them those things. When I look back and get discouraged and think, why are people listening? I look back in the Old Testament to the book of Jeremiah, who they call the weeping prophet, who kept telling God, why in the world won't these people listen? Part of God's law is perseverance. So we can look all through the Old Testament, then we could go to the New Testament. We could say, hey, it starts with a little couple named Mary and Joseph. He said, that's not God's law, that's New Testament. Mary and Joseph had to be obedient. They had to trust and obey because there's no other way to be happy except to trust and obey, right? They trusted and obeyed, and God used them to bring the Son of God, the Son of Man, into this world. Is that God's law? Yes, it's teaching me that when God speaks, you have to go no matter if you can't figure it out, and that God will orchestrate your path and get you back to your Bethlehem. And then I read those stories of what Jesus says in the New Testament where he speaks about the parables of things, and he does these miracles, and each miracle has a reason for it. And I read the New Testament. You say, the New Testament is not God's law. It's God's teaching through Jesus Christ that tell me I must be born again. You tell me that's not God's law. God's law says I have to be born again. It tells me that I can't just be good enough. Paul restates it in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. He says, it's by God's grace that I'm saved through faith. It's not of my works, that I can't brag about my works. I have to trust in him, go to him, ask him to forgive me of my sins. That's God's law. It's teaching. It's in his word. Do you know when I read on that I'll see that Paul tells me how to be the husband that I need to be to my wife? You say, well, that's definitely not God's law. That's God's teaching. That's God's direction. It tells me how to be the parent. It tells me how to be the good parent. Guess what else it tells me? How to be the tough parent. Guess what else it tells me? It tells me how to put my child behind God. That's tough. Well, what tells me that? The law of God in the New Testament. The teaching of God, the direction of God. Why would God give us those things? Here's why. So that we could see the wondrous things, so that we could feel the peace, the happiness. You say, why are you focusing on this? Well, it's pretty important. I want you to wrap your mind around this. Try to wrap your mind around this. It took me having to just get my by myself to see this, but you see, all these things in the Old Testament, they're the law of God. All these things in the New Testament, they're the law of God because they're the teaching of God, the instruction of God, the direction of God that come from the Word of God. And I know that I can hear all of those things, not just by the Mosaic law, but by God's complete Word. And I know it not because I've come up with something and I'm telling you, hey, listen, this is what Pastor Mike's saying. All I can do is repeat what God says. But I know 2 Timothy chapter 3 tells me that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine. You know what doctrine is? Teaching. For reproof, for correction, and for what? Instruction in righteousness. All Scripture. So God's complete law is His written word. But hold on. That's not all God's law. You don't just find God's law in His written word. You say, hold on now, you're going to step out. Good, good. I want to spur your interest. I want you to know that God reveals Himself to us. He reveals instructions to us, His directions for us in other ways than just the Scriptures. You say, oh, you're saying you don't have to just read the Word of God. No, I'm saying you need to read the Word of God in order to be able to say, God, hey, show me yourself and show me yourself through this. But there's other ways He reveals Himself to you. You say, how? And I'll say, through the Word. You say, well, you said it wasn't just the Word. Listen, His Word is not just His written Word. His law is not just His written Word. God's instruction are not just His written Word. How does He do this through a believer? Listen, there is a time when a person hears the voice of the Lord, not some booming voice, but maybe it's in a service like this, maybe it's through a friend, and they realize, I need to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'm a sinner. Hey, I just now realized I cannot get to God. I got things going on with me. God knows I've got things going on. And listen, I'm believing, I'm understanding now that Jesus did die for me. I actually believe it. I honestly believe it. And I believe that the blood that Jesus shed is the only thing that can cover my sins. I'm going to go to God and cry out for God. God, please forgive me of my sins. I am a sinner. Please use the blood of Jesus to cover my sins. I want to have fellowship with you, God. Let the Lord Jesus come into me and save me. Amen. When that happens, the Holy Spirit, you knew I was going there, right? The Holy Spirit indwells you. And the Holy Spirit begins to speak the Word to you. The Holy Spirit begins to speak God's law to you. The Holy Spirit begins to speak even to a child that has not read a certain part of Scripture. The Lord Jesus Christ, as that in the form of the Holy Spirit, God in the form of the Holy Spirit, will tell that child, you should not do this to this other person, right? Without even the written word. Now, if you have the written word and you have the Holy Spirit backing up the written word, I mean, that's just a double barrel. But I want you to understand the Holy Spirit speaks. But the Holy Spirit doesn't just speak to believers. The Holy Spirit speaks to unbelievers. You say, well, now that's something else. I just can't go with you there. The Holy Spirit is only given to believers. It can only speak to believers. Wrong. Wrong. How'd you get saved? How'd I get saved? You weren't born a believer. You got saved as an unbeliever when the Holy Spirit came to you and spoke to you, when the Word spoke to you, when you learned God's law by the Holy Spirit saying, you're lost in sin. Right? So that Holy Spirit speaks to believers, He speaks to unbelievers. But a believer and an unbeliever, there's one thing that they both have to do. They have to both be willing to pay attention to God when the Holy Spirit speaks to them. There was a day, about 40 years ago, an evening, I sat out a Sunday evening in church. I sat out there in church. Sunday evenings and Wednesday evenings are special times here in the church. If you're missing that and you're saying, well, I'm doing my Sunday morning, you're missing it. I'm going to tell you something. You're missing God trying to show Himself to you. I got saved on a Sunday evening at church. It was busy on a Sunday morning, all this stuff going on. Sunday evening was more that teaching. It found me more where I was at. It was a Bible study. My preacher was preaching on something, and I realized I'm as lost, lost, lost. I've said something before, but I am not saved. I had no intentions whenever I said it. I was just scared. I didn't ask Him to be my Savior, wanting Him. I didn't really trust. I didn't even God, I'm lost. Please get through preaching so I can come up there. And He said, if everybody, every head bowed, every eye closed, before He got eye closed, I knelt on that altar because the Holy Spirit was speaking to me back there. And when I got up to hear and accepted Him, the Holy Spirit came into me. He's been speaking to me ever since then. You say, man, you've been on it ever since then? Hold on. No. Because there's times, even though I had the availability for God to show me and direct me, I was no different than these first two gentlemen that came up that would say, hey, listen, what can I do, God, but then go off and do my thing and look when God was saying, hey, I thought you really want to know. If you really want to know, you're going to ask me to show you. You're going to be in more detail. Daryl said, can you tell me where it's at? Can you show me? He went in detail. He was willing to wait. You see, that's not our normal nature, is it? The psalmist was saying, open my eyes, show me something I can't see. Evidently, the psalmist had spent time like us going through life trying to find what it is to give us peace and happiness, even though the psalmist was a child of his. So before you and I, even in our Christian walk, go aimlessly trying to go through life saying, I guess I need to do this, I need to do this, I need to do this, and this is what I need to do. We need to make sure we do the first thing, which is to say, God, show me. Open my eyes to these wondrous things that you're trying to tell me, that you've been trying to teach me in your word. Open my eyes to it. Do you realize that that's a step that a lot of us just don't take? Is it important? Well, it's important because you understand when I got saved, the Holy Spirit was able to speak to me. When you got saved, the Holy Spirit was able to speak to you. If you're not saved, the Holy Spirit's speaking to you now. The one thing that everybody has to do is pay attention. You have to listen. Those kids said it up there. What did they do? They didn't listen. Look at them. They look foolish running around. Hey, that's us, isn't it? God said, I'm willing to tell you something, but you go off and you're on this, and this is what you got to do, and you've got this. Hey, listen, from the mouth of babes. It's all about communication. You have to be in communication with God in order for Him to show you something. Show me something, God. If I say, show me something, God, and then I just walk right off, am I really asking Him to show me? No. Sounds good. I didn't want Him to show you. You know how that's worked before, right? Any parents in here ever have some children and you're trying to tell them something and they say, yeah, I got it. You ever have an employee that works for you and you're trying to give instructions? Yeah, got to handle you. We're all good. Or you ever been that employee that says, yeah, they're saying that again. They're going, I got it. Did you really want them to show you? Or did it just seem good to say, hey, you show me what to do and I'll do it? What about that marriage relationship? The person's really trying to communicate, trying to show you what it is that's wrong, but there's this other part that says, okay, yeah, hey, what's wrong with you? Oh, yeah, okay. Well, they were trying to show you. It's just a communication breakdown. Do you know that as I listen to marriages that the devil is trying to break down, there's a communication breakdown because people aren't willing to listen to the other person show them something. And we're all guilty of it. We get to the point of having a statute of limitations of how much we want to listen. I find myself in situations to where Angie would say, did you hear what I said? Or did you hear me? Oh, yeah, I heard you. And I did hear. I didn't really hear. There was something that happened in my mind that said, okay, we're on that subject again. And so I know that you're going to say these certain things. So part of me just didn't even ask, didn't even want her to show me. But because I'd done exhausted, I got to that point and I thought, okay, you're trying to tell me that again. You're trying to tell me that. Yeah. My head was going like that and I was thinking about something else. I'm admitting it. You can admit it. Oh, it's not just husbands. Wife, don't think it's all of us, right? It's that subject again. Oh, he's talking about the tractor again. Yes, honey, that's nice. But talking about his garden. Okay, yes, that's good, right? It's something that's making them happy. It's something. It ain't about that. I'm trying to tell you what we do with God. God's trying to tell us something, and we're like, oh, yeah, that'll work. That's good. We'll just do it this way. We don't really want Him to show us. If a teacher in a classroom has a student there and the teacher wants to show the student something, needs to teach the student, is it important for the student to pay attention? Is it important for the student to be able to have a mindset that says, show me, in order for them to communicate? Talk to teachers today and they will tell you that there are plenty of students that come in their class that are just there, that are taking in and trying to spit back and tell them, but you find that teacher that says, hey, there's a student that came to me and that student wasn't getting it, and that student actually stood in front of me and said, hey, can you show me what you're talking about? Do you know that if it's a good teacher, that teacher takes that student and says, absolutely. You know why? They see their desire to want to be shown. It's the same way with a coach and a player, right? Have that coach that sees that player that comes in and says, hey, can you just show me how you're wanting to do it? If it's a good coach, that coach goes, hey, I see your desire. You're out here. You're saying, show me. You're saying, show me. Same way with a husband and wife. Same way with a parent and child. Same way with a company and a worker. We've talked about it. Same way with a friend and a friend. In order for these people groups to work out good, there has to be a willingness for one party to be willing to listen to the other party and then to take what they've heard, respond, or act upon it. But if you do not put yourself in a position to hear the other person, you're not going to know what they're telling you, and you're not going to have a good relationship because you're not on the same page. You see, in order to communicate, we have to want to see. We have to want to hear. Do you realize that? I can't even say this about the lost. I would say it about us Christians. A lot of times it's like we're faking it. You say, what do you mean? Well, how many times can you come and hear the Word of God preached that tells you that you need to be faithful and then continue to say, well, I can't do that. That's too much for me. I can only do this much. I don't want to be here. I don't want to be... We've heard it, but really, think about it. How many times can you say, God, show me out of your word, but then, oh, not that. I've heard about that. Hey, there's that guy. He's going to keep telling us we need to be at all these services. We need to be faithful. We need to be doing that. We need to be serving. He's saying that again. You don't really want to be shown. You say, how do you know? Because I've been there before. I've been that person that didn't want to be shown, but I sure would say I did, right? To communicate, we have to want to see, want to hear. This principle works the same way with God. If we're not putting ourselves in a position to hear God, to hear His law, to hear His teaching, to hear His instruction, to hear His direction, then we are not going to see the wondrous things that He wants to show us from His law, from His teaching. We're not going to hear what He says. So you may say to me at this point, I can see that, but I don't feel like I hear Him. I don't feel like I get His instructions or His directions as to what I should do. What should I do about that? I don't feel like I know that I want to, but I don't feel like that I hear Him. And so because of that, it would be a pretty poor sermon if there was no application, if there was nothing that you could take away from here that answers the question, what should I do? So how can I see what God has to show me? How can I hear what God's trying to tell me? Is that a reasonable question? Would anybody like to have that question answered? How can I see what He wants to show me? I want to give you two, in closing, the two ways that we find within this scripture. The first thing, number one, pretty simple, ask Him to reveal Himself to you. Ask Him to show you. Do you realize the communication starts by someone sincerely being interested in what someone else has to say? Marriage, parent-child, student-teacher, employer-employee. They take all those people relationships, right? I'm going to tell you what, my marriage is doing good if I'm truly and sincerely going to Angie and saying, Angie, honey, what's wrong? Show me what it is. If we're upset, show me what it is that I can do. As far as my role in the husband, what am I not doing? If I'm sincerely doing that, and she communicates that with me, and I apply it, we're golden, right? But it starts with me saying, show me. Show me. Reveal to me. And I'll be honest, I don't know all the little things that happen. Sometimes, really, something can happen that I'm oblivious to, and it's really bothering her, and I'm a pretty observant guy. And I have to say, show me. You You have to ask God like the psalmist did. Say, God, open my eyes to what it is you're trying to show me. You say, well, I've done that. I've asked God to show me things, but then there's point number two. And this is the one I want you to hang on to. You're asking him to show you, but are you going to where he can speak to you? Are you going to where he can speak to you? He said, what do you mean? Okay, this is the first part of the sermon. Where did we tell you that God was speaking his law to begin with in his written word, right? Are you going where he can speak to you? Are you going to his word, his written word? Because you know God's speaking. He's told us about creation. He's told us about how to sacrifice. He's told us what he thinks is good, what he doesn't think is good, how to persevere, how to be bold. All those things we covered just in that first little snippet of the sermon. Have you went there in God's Old Testament, New Testament, so that he could reveal to you his law, the wondrous things, so that it could have that aha moment, so that he could show you? Have you went there? You can say, God, show me, but if you're not going to where God's speaking, how is he going to show you? Are you going to him fervently in prayer and conversation? In this day and age, we seem so many times just to be inclined to have drive-by prayers, right? That's why I like to call them drive-by prayers. Time to pray, gone. Here's my time. It's morning or it's night. Here's my time. Boom, let's go. They're not fervent prayers. You're not saying, God, show me. As a matter of fact, if we look at our prayers, most of our prayers are spent on asking God to do certain things, right? You say, well, he's God. We're supposed to ask him. Exactly. We're supposed to ask him. But is that a conversation? If my child comes up to you and says, Dad, I'm going here. I need $20 for this. And can you put gas into here? And after you put gas into here, can you make sure that my phone is paid so that I can have a phone here? And after that, can you make sure that I have a meal before I go? And can I have your card so that I can get a meal when I get there? Is that a conversation? No. But if my child starts with, Dad, you know I don't have the means to do this, and you know this is what I'm going to do, I want to know, first of all, if this is what you want me to do, and if it is, I'm going to have to use your help to do it. I know that you take care of me. I know you sustain me, and I love you for doing that. Oh, boy, there's a whole different way. What do you need? Why? Because he came with a show me attitude. He came with not just a request attitude. He came wanting to talk. He came wanting to have a conversation. You see, when you go to God in prayer, it can't be, just be a drive-by prayer. It's got to be a communication. It's got to be a time where you say, God, show me what it is. God, you know I don't have any peace. This doctor has told me this and I don't have any peace. Instead of praying, God, heal me, we should be praying, God, show me how to deal with this right now. Because evidently, you're the one in control. If you've got it going on, show me how to deal with it. And then, if you want to heal me from it, I'm going to give you praise. But show me how to deal with it. Show me how to show others to deal with it. Show me what I need to be thinking. We don't go there, do we? We just say, God, can you do this and this and this and this and this? That's not show me prayer. And then the last thing in this third point of the second point, in the closing, for those keeping up, this would be point two in letter C of point two. Are you going to the place? You see, in going to where he can speak to you, are you going to his word? Are you going in fervent prayer? Are you going to a place where he can honestly, you can honestly say, God, I'm here, I'm listening, I'm looking, a place of no distraction? You say, Pastor, you just do not understand. My life right now is not geared with a place of no distraction, and I would disagree with you. Unless you come and stand in front of me and say that you haven't sent a text, you haven't made a phone call, you're not on Facebook, you're not involved, you haven't watched any TV program, you haven't read the newspaper, you're not doing anything outside of just going and doing your work and coming home. If you don't have any time to listen to a song, if you don't have any, then okay, let's talk afterwards. Because somewhere along the line, God must have messed up on you. Did he? No. Do you realize if you get yourself to a place of no distraction, and I'm saying, I'm not asking you to block off 2 hours of your day. Try 5 minutes to begin with. 5 minutes of clarity with God will do wonders. But do you know we don't even give Him the 5 minutes? A place of no distraction. You know, I went to another state and then to another country for God to be able to speak and say, hey, listen, hey, pal, hey, big guy that's trying to preach to people, listen, I need you to do this more. I know you're doing it at certain times in there, but look how clear it is this week. Look how good it is. Guess what you've done? You haven't just said, show me in your word. You haven't just come to me in prayer and said, hey, show me when we speak. Guess what you did? You put yourself in a place of no distraction. You say, okay, I guess you're recommending for us to be on vacation. You don't have to be on vacation to do it. I'll guarantee you that schedule, that agenda, that list of things that you're too busy to do something for, to be able to go to God and say, show me something, and actually stay in front of Him and listen, that list will get to where you can handle it if you give that time first and you have peace with doing it. Sometimes we fail to see this until God has to put us in a place to where, not by our choice, all these other things are removed. Sometimes we say that we're in this place of distraction, but we're really just expecting God to speak to us while we're doing all these other things that we've decided that we have to do. We're no different than those guys that just said, all right, I'm going. Can you tell me while I'm on my way? You know, I don't think that we're such bad people that we don't see what God wants us to see. I think that we're such busy people that we don't see what God wants us to see. And I think that the devil knows for me, it's a lot easier job for him to make me busy than it is to make me bad. The devil's not dumb. You say, preacher, I can't believe, are you confessing to me that there's some times that you get focused on what God has you to do and then you don't take time to listen to God the way you need to or for Him to show you and reveal. Hey, yeah, I hope you're getting it by now. We're this far into the sermon. He was preaching to me. You say, I don't want a preacher like that. You need to get somebody in here that'll lie to you then. Right? How many of you do that? God's word says, the psalmist said, open my eyes so that I can see the wonders of thy law. Right? That's the whole key. And putting yourself in that place to hear Him, that's important. You know what it shows Him? You really want to hear what I have to say. You see, I fear that we haven't cried out to God and said, open my eyes. We tend to act like we can see everything, but actually all that we're seeing are the things that we have to see, the things that we think we need to see, instead of saying, okay, God, I'm listening, I'm looking, I'm stopped. Please open my eyes and show me these wondrous things that you want to show me that's going to help me or help somebody else. I think it's easy to get caught up in doing what we think we have to do instead of doing what we need to do or want to do. I don't even want to put need there. I think sometimes we act out of what we think is need. So let me ask you, actually in closing, do you really want to hear? Do you want God to show you? Do you really want to? Do you want to hear God's law, His instructions, His direction? Then let me ask you, are you asking Him to open your eyes? Are you asking Him, first of all, to show you what He wants you to see? Are you asking Him to reveal Himself to you? Here's how you'll know you are. Are you going to the place that He can reveal Himself to you? Well, where's that? Well, the first place is the written word. You went to it this morning. You came in here this morning and I shared the written word with you, right? You went to it. Is He revealing anything to you? Is He showing anything to you? You know He will. You went to it. Number two, are you going to Him in fervent prayer and saying, God, show me yourself. Show me what you want. Show me what you want me to see about. You know, you say, well, I need Him to show me what I need to be as far as to Him. Let's start with something simple. Let me tell you how this whole community would change, how this church would change, this community would change, how everybody would change around you if you started praying this to God. Hey, God, show me what you want me to be as a husband. Hey, God, show me what you want me to be as a wife. Not God, look at what they're doing. It gets on my nerves. God, show me what I can do. Show me myself, God. Show me if I'm the son or the daughter that I need to be. Show me if I'm acting right to my parents. Show me if I'm the parent that I need to be. Am I putting God's law, God's order in my house? Show me, God, am I doing that? But we don't stand in God, in front of God long enough for Him to show us most of the time. We're too busy trying to implement what we think, right? Show me. God will reveal it to you in His Word. He'll reveal it to you in prayer. And then thirdly, are you going to a place of no distraction? You know, there are times when we get so busy, we don't have time for those things that we should have time for and are important to. And I know sometimes me and Angie get going so many different directions. And when we see each other, you know, she's talking about the children's ministry. And I'm saying, hey, I got to do this and I got to be here and I got to be there. You know what? There's times when we stop and we say, hey, listen, there's something I need to tell you. Boy, those are nice times, right? You know what it means? We just need to talk. When's the last time you did that with God? When's the last time you did that with God? God, I got a ton of things going on. Hey, listen, let's just talk. I'm going to put myself in a position to hear you. I'm going to put myself right in front of you. I haven't got the radio on. I'm not driving while I'm praying. God, I went to this place here and I'm talking to you. But thinking time. How many people are giving yourself thinking time? You said you don't understand. We don't have it. Listen, you're preaching to the choir for somebody that doesn't have time. I don't have time. Guess what he told me? You better make time. You need to make you some show me time. I need to walk around living this prayer. God, open my eyes and show me the wondrous things out of thy law. Through the written word, through my prayer life, and through my undistracted time that I'm giving to God. Are you doing those things? If not, then start with a prayer that says, God, you've shown me something this morning. You've shown me myself. I want to do this better. Listen, God will put a peace on you that passeth all understanding. If you're in here today and God's been trying to show himself to you, but you've never bowed in front of him, that's the place you need to go. You need to bow before a holy and righteous God and tell him, listen, you've shown me I'm a sinner. I want to accept your son Jesus as my Savior. I'll pray that prayer with you today. You know, this is a message of conviction that was on me that I felt like, hey, we all need to hear it. When's the last time that God would say, you have told him, and really meant it, God, show me. Come and talk to him this morning. Father God, I love you. I praise you. I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, for the privilege to get to open your word and hear your law, your directions, your instructions. I pray, God, this morning, if there's anyone that's in this place today, Lord, anyone listening, no matter how this sermon gets to them, I pray, God, that you're able to let us apply this to our lives, Lord. Respond to it. I pray for the response to your word this morning. I pray if there's anyone here that's lost, it's anyone listening that's lost, Lord, I just pray, God, that you would let us be able to look at our lives and let us be able to see what you would say about us showing, you showing yourself to us. Lord, let us be able to apply it to our life. And Lord, for the lost that are listening that realize you've been trying to show them the way of salvation, I pray, God, they see their need to come forward and accept your son, Jesus. For the saved, those that are here, Lord, let us look at our service to you. Let us look at our relationship with you. Let us look at the peace that we have right now and be able to answer this question. Lord, move in lives today, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.